If you will, open up your Bibles to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3 is where we're going to be today. Titus chapter 3. Calling this the hero's journey. The hero's journey. I don't know about you guys, but I grew up looking at Classics Illustrated, that comic book. Do y'all remember that? A comic book that they would use to kind of show you old stories of maybe the classic stories of like the Trojan War with the Trojan horse or maybe Hercules, things like that. And I was always fascinated by those old comic books. I love comic books, still do. And as I read through those, I'd see these neat stories and they would always kind of catch my attention, different things about them. And I begin to see a theme kind of come up over and over again, that really the stories were very, very similar, just kind of depending on how you looked at them, that you could kind of see kind of a flow. It always kind of began with a motivation. I think about the story that maybe the guy in the boat who's going to face the Kraken. You guys know the Kraken, the big squid, the huge squid that he's going to go face. But the story starts with some motivation. There's something inside of him that says, I want to go sail the seven seas. I want to go out there and take on the monster, the beast. Maybe he just has this desire to go get revenge for a friend who was out at sea and was eaten by the huge squid. So he goes out there. Or maybe he's in search of treasure. Or perhaps he just wants to get out and just have the freedom of journeying the seas. But there's some motivation inside of him that says, I want to get out there and be in the water. Part two of the story is the internal conflict. The internal conflict basically says this, that while we're in the boat, there's gonna be problems on the ship. And you guys know how this is. As you read through the stories, you see this. I always think it's so interesting that they could just get in the boat and go kill the Kraken, and that'd be the end of the story, right? But they don't do it that way. There's all this long, drawn-out drama in the middle, where the guys on the boat, in the process of going to get the Kraken, they run out of food. And so there's a mutiny on board. Or maybe they get frustrated because they don't know where they're going. Maybe pass through the Bermuda Triangle and their compasses are going crazy. They don't know where they're at, or they're adrift, or they get stuck in the muck and in the mud. And so they're frustrated and they don't know if they can get out of it. And it's really important that you have the middle section in these stories, because the internal conflict is where character is built. And so it's really important. And the other thing is this, that the internal conflict reminds us of ourselves. We see the humanity in the story, because we all understand what internal conflict is like. Well, then there's part three of the story. And part three is the purpose fulfilled. This is the place where you finally go up against the Kraken. This is the place where you finally go up and kill the beast that you've been searching for. You finally reach the goal and the end. And like I said, many times the story is over very quickly right here at the very end. Maybe they win or maybe they don't. But either way, it doesn't matter, because the journey was really what the story was about. But the goal, it's what they've been shooting for, to reach their goal. And so we see as these stories play out, this is the kind of the typical theme of these tales. Well, we've been talking about the book of Titus. And in the book of Titus, we have seen the message over and over again, doing good. That God has called us to do good in our lives, to do good as Christians, to be what God has called us to be. In the last few weeks, we've seen this from so many different angles. Last week, we looked at it from the angle of grace. And we got in a little bit into Titus chapter 3 as we looked at the concept of the gospel and what does it mean to do good. And we're going to begin there and kind of use that as a launching point today. And here's what I want you to see. That the message of Titus is much similar to the message of these old stories, the stories of old. And that's this. There's motivation, there's internal conflict, but in the end, there is a goal that we are shooting for, and we've got to reach that goal. So let's begin together, if we will, And look in Titus chapter 3, starting in verse 3. And we're going to begin to see the motivation. Verse 3. We ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Verse 4. But, when the goodness of the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Paul says, listen, I want you to know this. We don't deserve to be part of this ship. We don't deserve to be part of this ship. But we have a captain who was so good that He found us practically drowned in the water of sin and selfishness. And He scooped us out and put us on board this ship. And now here we are as hired hands. And He calls us His own. We don't deserve to be there. I think Paul is reminding us, why are you here? What's your motivation for doing what you do? How did you get here? And he says, I want you to know this. Your motivation is the good news. It's the good news. Do you remember your motivation? The thing I love about Sunset is the good news has always been on the forefront of our minds. Preach the word. Preach the gospel. Preach the message of Jesus Christ. The good news. It is the gospel that motivates us. How dare we think we could be here alone, to do it alone? How dare we think we're good enough without Him? I don't know what compels you to come to church on Sundays. There's times I'll wake up and I'm getting ready and dressed and I think, that's what you do. You know, Sunday morning you go to church. But is it the Master? Is it the Savior? Is it our Captain that motivates us to get on board? I want to encourage you, it's time to get on board this message. Our journey begins with motivation. The motivation of the Christian is the story of Christ. Plain and simple. What gets me going in the morning? It's Jesus. What causes me to come here? It's Jesus. Why do I endure this? It's Jesus. Why do I want this? It's Jesus. I want to say this. It's hard to have longevity at sea with all the temptations that are billowing around us without having a relationship with the captain, without having a relationship with Jesus. It's hard to reach the Christian destination if you're sailing without a captain. We need Jesus. Well, our story isn't just about reaching a goal. In the middle of our story, you see, there's always this internal conflict. Have you noticed this? And Paul mentions it as he goes in Titus chapter 3, starting in verse 9. He says, avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stores up division after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. Paul says, listen, I wish it were so simple as we get on board and we reach our destination, but I want you to know this, Titus, there are going to be people who are going to try to bog you down. There are going to be people who are going to try to keep you from reaching your destination. You're going to be sailing aimlessly. And so you have to realize that those voices are going to come in. Maybe they're your voices, or maybe they're someone else's voices. But when those voices come in, get prepared. Be prepared. We have a mission to do. Let's not get bogged down here in the murk and the muck and the mud. Let's not have a mutiny on board. Let's not go adrift, spinning around with no direction, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about worthless talk. That's what he's talking about. Worthless talk. The worthless talk that gets in when we're on mission for God and tries to stop us. You ever experience it? You ever heard it? I'll never forget, I was a kid growing up in Amarillo. And my aunt Ann invited me to come to Sunset. And she said, you ought to come and spend some time with us. And so I came for the weekend. And that weekend there was a missionary in town. And the missionary was staying at their house. Now in my mind, that missionary was from Africa. I can't remember. But I was about 16 years old. And this was kind of my Paul and Titus moment. I was the young Titus. I wanted to follow God and kind of bask in the glory of this missionary. So the missionary was there, and I'll never forget meeting the missionary for the first time, and I could say anything I wanted to the missionary. I could speak any truth I wanted to say or dig deep into my gut of knowledge and share with him something. And so here's what I said to the missionary from Africa. I said, are you conservative or are you liberal? I kid you not. Are you conservative or are you liberal? You would have thought I punched him in the stomach. His mouth was wide open. He could not believe it. He looked at me with pain in his eyes. And he said, you have to understand something, son. I don't live in the States. I don't understand what you guys are talking about here. I'm on a mission for God. And I'm out there and I'm trying to do God's work. And you're bringing this to me? How discouraging it was for him. Here's the thing. It wasn't Jesus terminology I was telling him, was it? It was Rush terminology. That's where I got that. I got that from Rush. It wasn't talk of doing good. It was talk of divisiveness. It wasn't a message of the gospel, salvation for all. It was a message of elitism. And it wasn't humble. It was self-righteous. I had become a sorter of peoples. I was sorting people. Are you of this camp or are you this camp? We need to know where you're at so I can understand you. Are you in this camp or are you in this camp? My standards were determining who was in and who was out. I was the judge and jury, and Christ would execute my will. And I want you to know this. In some ways, I have found myself never leaving that mentality. And it makes me so sad. Never leaving that mentality. Are you conservative or are you liberal? I am so disappointed. Are you organic? Or are you McDonald's? I'm so disappointed. Are you auditorium or small group? I'm so disappointed. Are you Fox or are you CNN? I'm so disappointed. Have you saved for retirement or have you not? I'm so disappointed. Are you millennial or are you the greatest generation? Oh, I'm so disappointed. Why do I think that way? And here's what God calls me to. He calls me to terminate the worthless talk. Terminate the worthless talk. Along the journey, there's going to be internal conflict. And here's how Paul responds to it. He says, ignore it. Isn't that interesting? If you look in Titus 3, that's his response. Now, there's other passages where he doesn't say ignore it, but in Titus 3, he says, ignore it. Have nothing to do with it and ignore it. Christ has called us to ignore internal conflict. We have a mission, guys. Here we are, we're trying to get on board so we can go do our mission, and there's all this chatter on the boat. A mutiny is going to get started. People are frustrated. We got to get this stuff figured out. Guys, we have a mission. That's what the missionary was saying to me as a kid. Don't you understand, Chris? I'm on a mission. Why would you bombard me with this problem whenever I'm on a mission? I think about the size of Sunset. There's 1,000+ people who attend this church. Can you imagine if just 10% of us got really passionate on an issue and one Sunday just decided to tell Monty about it? What would that look like? Poor Josh here, imagine if he did something and boy, 10% of us just decided we were going to call him out on it. You know what that would look like? For a whole year, about every third day, he'd get a criticism. Can you imagine what that would be like? But here God is, and God's saying, listen, the boat can be blue or red. That's not the issue. The issue is go and get on mission. Go and get on task. We have a purpose. How could we fulfill that purpose? Titus continues on. And he says, listen, there's a purpose and I want you to fulfill it. In Titus chapter 3, starting verse 8, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Now listen, that's a verse that's easy to run over. It's making a really crucial point here. The passage points to the passage before it, and it says this: you were saved by the grace of God, the gospel. You didn't deserve to be here, but you were saved. And then he goes on in the next verse, in verses 8 and 9, and he says, because you've been saved, go do good works. Because you've been saved, go do good works. See, that's where I get messed up, because I do it in reverse. I need to go do good works so people will think I'm a good guy. God says in this passage, you're not a good guy. You're not a good guy. Go do good works because you've been saved, because you've been brought on board. You're in the boat now. And when you're in the boat, you got a job to do. We got a beast. Let's get a cracking. That's what he says. You got a beast to fight. Let's get a cracking. I love it. He says, listen, I want you to know there's a job to do. What's the job? Blessing a hurting world. That's it. It's not for us to hate each other. It's not for us to stir up controversy among each other. It's not for us to attack each other. It's to bless a hurting world. I want you to notice how Paul puts it. Look at this. In verse 12, he jumps down to the end of the passage, chapter 3, verse 12, and he gives an example. He says, when I send Artemas and Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing, and let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. Here's what he's saying. He says, we have a mission. And here's what I want you to do, Titus. Send these guys over there so you can be sent over here, and then we can send guys out over there. That's what he says. Let's send these guys. He doesn't tell us what they're sending them for. And I'm glad he doesn't tell us what they're sending them for. They're just there to do good. Send those guys, and then send this guy. And I hear encouragement as part of this. It's winter. Why is Paul so interested in that? Encourage. I need encouragement. You hear that throughout Paul's writings. I need encouragement. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all the other stories of the world had internal conflict in the middle, but the Christian story was nothing but encouragement? Hey, go get them. Go do that job. I'm proud of you. You're doing good for the church. Go get it. Pretty interesting. But look at the passage. I want you to notice this. It says this: speed Zenas the lawyer. Do y'all see that in verse 13? Speed Zenas the lawyer. And that's kind of funny, right? He said, send a lawyer my way too. Why did he say send a lawyer? Because you never know when the church is going to need a good lawyer. Right? You never know when the church is going to need a good lawyer. Are you a lawyer? Man, you never know when the church is going to need you. Well, maybe you're not a lawyer. Maybe you say, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a school teacher. Can I tell you something? You never know when the church is going to need a good school teacher. Say, well, I'm not a school teacher, I'm an artist. Can I tell you something? You never know when the church is going to need a good artist. Well, I'm a mechanic. You never know when the church is going to need a good mechanic. Well, I'm a counselor. You never know when I'm a nurse. You never know when the church is going to need a good nurse. In other words, we need you. We need you. We can't do this thing without you. And so the message is, instead of stirring up controversy, let's get on board and let's get a cracking. What would it look like if we did this? If the purpose of God was fulfilled because the purpose of the disciple was to do good just like Jesus. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Can you imagine what the world would look like if we all just got on board and started doing our job? This is a church of 1,000 people, 1,000 plus. Can you imagine if just 10% did the work of God? What would it look like? What would it look like? I was thinking about this the other day. If we all just prayed for 1 minute a day, how many hours would we get out of it? Could you imagine what God would see if we could all just give God 1 minute a day? 1 minute in song a day? What would it look like? We could change the world. It's time to get a cracking. It's time to get moving and to do the job that God has called us to do. So Paul summarizes. Titus, you have much work to do. Know why you do it. Know what will stop you. Get on it. Get on it. What would church be like if lawyers and teachers and nurses and moms and dads and kids and grandparents got on board to do good for God? We got moving and we set sail for the goal of good work. Not because we ourselves were so good, but because we had a Savior who saves us, and we just wanted to honor that beautiful fact. And what if every time someone on board started to stir up problems on this ship, we said to ourselves, there's always going to be those voices, so I'm going to ignore that and keep doing my job. What would this fellowship look like? Brothers and sisters, it's time to get on board and get it cracking. If you need anything from this body, won't you come now as we stand and as we sing together?